AI. Lots of talk about it. More and more people in ministry are using it. Are you? Well, we're going to discuss the pros and cons of AI and more next on the Church Solutions Podcast.
It's the Church Solutions Podcast, brought to you by StreamingChurch.tv. The Church Solutions Podcast is all about helping you and your church with technology and other resources for your life and ministry. Now, here are your hosts, Steve Lacey and Phil Thompson.
Welcome, everyone, to the Church Solutions Podcast. We sure appreciate you spending a little bit of time with us. This is episode number 517.
Wow. I'm Steve Lacey, and he's Phil Thompson.
Well done, Steve. That's normally, we always step on each other, so we didn't step on each other that time, so I'm working on that. I know I'm partly to blame for that, but when I say stepping on each other, I mean, you know, we're talking and then you start talking or I start talking before one of us or whatever. But anyhow, how is your day going?
Just peachy keen.
All right. So. That's good information to know. I had scheduled Arizona Pest Control. They wanted to come out at 7:30 in the morning, which I almost forgot about. But I'm up at like usually 5:30, so it wasn't a big deal. But I have some termite issues, I guess, or evidence. And if you live in Arizona, I guess probably anywhere, right? But in Arizona, we definitely have termite issues. Many of us face those things. It's pretty common. I'm not sure why it's so common, but it is. And so we noticed some termite activity a couple months ago. So I called Arizona Pest Control. I've had different. One company I used for years, and they weren't really that professional, but they seemed to do the job. And Arizona Pest Control is very, very like big and professional. And so they came out and treated the termite evidence that we saw. You know what that evidence is? On your walls, you look up and you see this trail, this like little tube hanging out of like a little hole out of your wall. Have you noticed that in your place?
I am very familiar, yes.
Yeah. So, yes. And so, of course, outside they have tunnels too that go up kind of. They're looking for some type of wood, all right? They're looking for something inside the wood, I guess.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. So, anyhow, they treated it and they moved furniture around and got the one spot. They had already been out a month before, but they said it takes a while. So, anyhow, that was my exciting morning. So, today we're going to talk a little bit about the pros and cons of AI. And I don't have a title for this. I'll probably put this on our blog. And by the way, if you haven't looked at our blog lately, folks, check it out, blog.streamingchurch.tv. Well, all sorts of different topics on there. And usually we will cover some of this on our Church Solutions podcast here. But let's talk a little bit about AI. I want to talk about the pros and cons. I want to go over a few stats that show what's happening in the ministry church realm of AI. And then I also somehow want to do some self-glossing here, because here this is brought to you by StreamingChurch.tv, which is one of our companies here, one of our whatever you want to call it, one of the things we have. And so we have AI tools as well that can be used. So let's just jump into it, shall we?
We shall.
All right. So AI is happening everywhere. Here are some stats, and most of these stats have come from Pew Research, Faith Teams, I don't know who they are, Barna Group, which I know who they are, Gloo, G-L-O-O, which we are familiar with. And then there's a thing called AIforChurchLeaders.com, which some of these stats come from. So let's first talk about weekly usage. 61% of pastors now use AI weekly or daily, and that's up from 43%. In 2024.
Yeah, I would have thought it would have been even a bigger jump since 2024. So it's been, yeah.
Well, maybe not everybody's full disclosure. I don't know. There's the daily integration says that 25% of pastors use AI tools every single day for ministry tasks. 25%.
Yeah, so, and that's probably higher too, because I think a lot of times people don't realize that they're using AI
yes.
for doing something. So
that is true.
Yeah, I listened to a recent podcast and the guy was just talking about AI versus Google search and stuff. And he said, people just, you know, Google's defaults to the AI answer. So they're using AI, whether they know it or not. So, Yeah.
There's so many different, Gemini is a Google thing, right? I think.
Yes. That is the current name. Google has a bad habit of launching things and killing them. Remember Google Plus. Remember Bard. Remember, I mean, there you can go on and on and on. But yes, well, Gemini.
They're trying. I mean, they're doing their best. You know, I mean,
I don't know. It's just kind of weird that they do that. They have, you know, they do these major launches and then
it goes
6 months, 2 years later, they say, we're either going to rename it or we're going to ditch it and create something else that, that we will rename later. So, yes.
Yeah.
Well, not sure what happened to Bard. What happened to Bard?
Do we know? Bard, I think Bard was Gemini, wasn't it? Or did Gemini, did they buy out Bard? I can't remember now. I'm so confused. There's Claude. There's Grok, or was it G-R-O-K? I always want to call it Gronk because we have a guy that used to be here at the U of A, played football, Gronkowski, who was, of course, famous for being with the Patriots and all that stuff. And but so there's Grok, and then there's, I don't know, there's ChatGPT, which I think is very, very well known and people use. There's more of them. There's something called Venice, I think. I don't know. Anyhow. There's
lots and lots, yes. Oh,
there's tons of them. There's tons of them, right? So 91% of church leaders say they support the use of AI in ministry to some degree. I'm not sure what degree that is. And then there's roughly 46% of the general U.S. workforce that uses AI. Nearly 64% of church leaders are actively using it, suggesting ministry is one of the fastest adopting sectors.
Yeah. There you have it. Kind of makes sense to a certain degree when you kind of pull back. So a large part of ministry's job is to create content. Yes. You know, prepare a sermon, create, you know, messages, create, keep the flock fed. Yes. So yes. AI is just a natural for helping you do that job.
Yeah, it really is. So let's talk a little bit about that. Sermon preparation, 64% of pastors who preach use AI in their church process. So we're talking about research. We're talking about outlines. We're talking about maybe text analysis. This is a measurable jump from the year 2024 when fewer than 50% were even open to the idea. So there you have that. That's an interesting stat, I think. And in the content creation, as you mentioned, 36% of church AI use is dedicated to content creation. So we're talking newsletters. We're talking social media. We're talking blogs. 36%. I would think that'd be a little more, but.
Yeah, I would have too.
Maybe nobody's fessing up to it. And then there's administrative stuff, right? There's 16% use it for administrative workflows, such as volunteer scheduling and email management. Only 16%. And then there's the category called the helper tools. And that's among specific tools, Grammarly, is like they lead in 11%, I guess, followed by Microsoft Copilot, 9%.
It's another, and then,
yeah.
That's Microsoft's AI, yep.
That's Microsoft's Google Gemini, which we mentioned, that's 8% for Google Gemini. And then Canva Magic Studio, which I don't really use. I think Mike used it or something. 8% for Canva Magic Studio. What is that? Is that to create like images or something?
Yeah, it's graphic art stuff. So yes. Okay.
All right. Yeah, that's probably why I don't use it. All right. So despite the high usage here that we're looking at, there's a massive lack of formal, and read my notes, when it comes to oversight. And this is our friend Kenny Jong has talked about this a lot. There's a lack of guidelines. So 73% to 81% of churches depending on what study you look at, have zero formal AI policy or guidelines in place. That doesn't surprise me.
And towards the end of your notes, our notes here, which I don't know if we'll get to or not, but it's kind of has some suggested guidelines for here's a good place to use it. Here's not a good place to use
it. Yeah. We'll try to get to that. And by the way, I'm probably going to create something for churches, and we'll probably post it on our blog or something, some guidelines that be a little more specific. So, all right. So 73% to 81%, they don't got nothing. They have no formal AI policy. And then there's the category of training that might be needed. 87% of the leaders out there express a willingness to invest in AI education for their staff, yet only 12% feel comfortable teaching their congregation about it. Why are they so uncomfortable?
I don't know. So for me, I pull out my crystal ball here, and I think what's going to happen is AI is going to be much more prevalent in everything you do. Right now, it's kind of a tool that you go use, that you go, oh, I'm going to go ask ChatGPT. I'm going to go to Gemini. I'm going to go to Claude, whatever, and ask a question or have it review some things in that. So it's more of an active go out and seek kind of thing. Whereas for me, I've been using a browser that's provided by ChatGPT called Atlas that's integrated into the browser. And I've really grown used to being able to be on a website, have a question. You know, it's not worth hitting up their help section and researching whatever. You just hit the button and ChatGPT knows what website you're on. They know all about that website, and you ask a question and it goes right through and helps you do your job. And I've gotten, or just get your questions answers. Or sometimes it is, you know, hey, I see these instructions, but this step six doesn't make any sense. You know, what is that all about? And it'll go through and fill it out. And I've found myself being in other environments. You know, a lot of time it's when you're on your phone or you're using some specific app and you have this question that you would normally, you know, lean over and ask your really smart friend or whatever about. That's the pro on it. You know, how do I print from this? You know, whatever it may be.
Right.
And that we're starting to see more of just a little bit of that, where the AI is creeping into a lot of other daily, uses. I've got a smart speaker on my desk and they have embraced the AI just recently, which is kind of surprising. I won't say her wake word here, but it took many years before they incorporated it in. So anyway.
Alexa, that's what you're referring to, right?
Yes. Yeah. She's sitting right here on my desk, so she would respond if I said her name here.
I have Google.
Anyway, my crystal ball, for what it's worth, I think we're going to see a lot more. I'm driving in the car and I have a question about something, or I'm operating my lawnmower and I'm having a problem. You know, I'm thinking that a lot of this, I think our AI is going to creep more and more into our daily lives. Anyway, that was free. That's my prediction.
All right. We'll log that. And today is, what is today? April 28th or something. Yeah. Well, 2026. We'll write that down. All right. Yeah. So let's talk about the pros and cons. Okay. Because I'm sure there's people listening to this and you're thinking, whatever. But there's a lot of downside to this. And so let's talk a little bit about that, because I think there's some legitimate thoughts and concerns about it. But first, we'll talk about the pros. The pros when it comes to ministry, and we've covered this a little bit. You know, there's this thing about sermon research assistance. There's tools out there, I guess, Pulpit AI. Logos is another one. There's different commentaries that you can use, which I've never, you know, touched. I mean, I'm no longer pastoring. I'm no longer speaking at places. And so I don't really care. But there is some stuff out here that you could use for historical context purposes and cross-referencing things. And I'll tell you this right now, when I was preparing sermons, it took quite a while because I had commentaries, which I looked at. I didn't necessarily use them all the time, but I looked at them. I had a Greek lexicon because I loved looking at the original language. And so I had a lot of things that took quite a bit of time, you know, if I really wanted to do it, to put into a sermon. And so this stuff here really can cut your time quite a bit, you know, the time you have to put into it as far as the grunt work, so to speak, looking up different things and trying to find that, okay? So, again, sermon research is an area that can be a positive thing for AI.
Yep, exactly. So, and I think we'll get into I'm steering away from the let the AI do the job for you. Cause you've got to properly use it and you want to use it the way you were talking about, where it's going to increase my learning speed. You know, I'm still doing the work, but I'm just much more efficient. I'm spending less time Google searching and reviewing this article versus that article. I'm getting my learning much quicker if I'm using the AI tools. So So it's not, you aren't going to use it to create your sermon, but you're going to help you. It's going to help you do your job that you're gifted at, get there quicker. So one of the main pros. And there's tools out there all over, and they're cropping up every day too.
They are.
And we have some too. So
we do, which we probably should talk about. So there's the other advantage to AI when it comes to ministry is breaking the language barriers out there. There's AI stuff that can help translate. I have a friend that does interpretation and translation, but he's not worried about it. He's about ready to retire anyhow. But you can incorporate this in your messages where if you're online or something. We interviewed and actually did, I think, a webinar. And I can't remember the name of the people that have this tool that you can incorporate. Do you remember? I should have looked it up
if you hadn't asked me, I could have told you. But it's right on the tip of my tongue. But yes, there's there's other tools out there as well. That was kind of things have kind of gone through these different AI trends, and that, I think that was a trend that's kind of peaked and is providing the translations, real-time translations and stuff.
Yeah. There's also, when it comes to volunteer scheduling, they call it operational stuff in your church. There's AI that can be a real plus and positive thing when it comes to scheduling your volunteers. Then there's a thing called Planning Center has it. You know, there's lots of things that can help so that, you know, you don't have people falling through the cracks. If you have a lot of volunteers, it's something that you could use, AI, when it comes to scheduling. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. Content repurposing. Here's something I want to talk a little more about, and that is, you know, you have a message, 40 minutes or an hour-long message, you know, and you give the message, put a lot of time and effort into it, and then people forget about it, forget what you said a couple days later or sooner, if it's me listening. And so there's the ability to repurpose your content using AI. And we're talking sermon media clips here, social media clips from your sermons, I should say, blog summaries, which many times we do from this podcast. We'll take a blog, we'll create a blog that's kind of a summary of what we talked about. You can do that for sermons, newsletter stuff. What it does is it extends your message, your Sunday morning message that you worked hard on, and it can be available. Clips and pieces of it can be available to help people. We have tools that do that, don't we, Steve?
We do. I was just doing that before we started our podcast because I am the leader of my small group, and we meet tonight. And I wanted to make sure I had this done before I got busy with a bunch of other things. And so what I did is just went in, grabbed went into the Streaming Church admin panel and chose the sermon from this past weekend and said, I need my small group discussion guide created. And the church does do one. They do one in advance, but this one just takes the message And the one of the prompts that I use is I say, create five key points from the message and give a title for each one of the key points, create a couple of sentences to describe it, and then have some questions regarding that key point and a scripture reference that relates to that key point. And so it'll go through actually using your content. It knows your message. It knows your style because you're using your sermon. And it will go through and create, draft out some summary of the key points. And so we're doing some neat things at my group, which is I've been somewhat of a little bit of a maverick within our group. But I have each of the it creates 5 points. And I take these 5 points and I hand them out to just whoever's willing in the group to present, to review the point, you know, before we get to their point and then present the point. And we just kind of go around the room. So everyone's participating. And what's really good is it's that the discussion is much richer than it has been in the past with our canned notes. So because it takes a bunch of different elements and presents them in a slightly different way. And it just, and people go, oh yeah, I remember when the pastor talked about that point, he was talking about his son doing this and, you know, and it just gets people, you know, more participatory. I, you know, I found it's just been we just started at doing it this semester with our group. So it's really been a big difference. Started it for like a couple of weeks. And I said, okay, guys, what do you think? Do we go back to the old way or do we keep doing it this way? And everybody's like, no, we need to keep doing it this way. So to the point where I wasn't there for the past 2 weeks because we were on vacation and they did it that way. Well, in my absence as well. So
did you, and this is something we provide at streamingchurch.tv. What is that called?
Ministry Multiplier is what we call it. Okay. On our admin panel, but there are 6 different pre-defined products that you can get from your sermon. And we allow you to edit the prompt so you can ask for something else if you wanted to as well. So actually, I do that each week because the default was had too many questions for me for the group. I wanted to kind of get through it quicker, so I reduced the number of questions, added some things. So you basically choose your sermon. You choose your sermon and what product do you want? I think there's like kids activities that are based on the sermon that you can do during the week with your kids. So it'll suggest some crafts that, you know, that illustrate. We're talking about peace this week. So it could be, you know, creating doves or I don't know what it would be, but I haven't done it for the kid piece. But you can, whatever will allow the message to live on during the week with your congregation. And depending on what their situation is, whether in a small group, whether it's a youth group, whether you need a 1-paragraph summary of the sermon to just share with somebody, a neighbor or a friend, you know, it'll give you all those outputs based on that sermon.
Cool. All right. And we also have a thing that's called dailydive365.com, which actually can create devotionals and can do it in the pastor's voice or not. But it's dailydive365.com if anybody's interested in looking at it. Yeah. And that's devotionals.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And that has been – we probably need to make that a little more aware because for those that did it are still doing it, some of those that were streaming with us and doing Daily Dive – no longer streaming with us, but they're still doing the Daily Dive. So it really caught fire with a very small group of people. And I think it was just a little too early for a lot of churches. But anyway, check it out. DailyDive365.com has a mobile app and some community things to do within your small group built in.
All right. So we're talking about some great things here that AI can do, but let's talk about the cons. The cons of AI. So there's some pitfalls that I think people need to really look at. One is if you got to be careful here because you could lose, if you don't do this right using AI, you can lose the human presence factor here. I mean, you can get a prayer drafted by AI or a condolence note, but there's a part of, I think there's a risk of replacing genuine pastoral care, just putting stuff out there without the human touch. You get what I'm saying here?
I do. I had an experience very recently. I mentioned we were on vacation and my wife and I are celebrating or approaching our 40th wedding anniversary. And I thought, I'm going to write her a kind of a special note, you know, how do I love thee? Let me count the ways kind of a thing. And I was like, oh, wow, I could get to the finish line really quick if I just wrote a real long prompt in AI and it'll come off just super eloquent, you know? But I resisted and went the wise route and wrote it out in my awkward English, in my own awkward handwriting. I actually wrote it out, a note I haven't, I don't know about you, but handwritten notes is something that I haven't done in a very long time. So yes, in my own handwriting, in my own words, unpolished, right from the heart. And I think you can't replace that.
Yeah. I can't. I mean, I write notes and nobody can read them. I mean, it's my handwriting was always bad. And now it's even worse because I have arthritis in my hands. We have a deal which we got something for Christmas a couple years ago from our kids. I say kids. We have one son, but you know, he's married now. So whenever they come over, we say the kids are coming over. But they gave us a book. I don't have it here in front of me, I don't think. And it's called Dad, I Want to Hear Your Story. And then Mary Kay, my wife, got one that said, Mom, I Want to Hear Your Story. And it's a book that you can open up and it will ask specific questions about, you know, growing up, your life, whatever. And you can write some answers to it. You can write to it and then you can give it to the child and they have kind of like they can read some answers. Some questions that they may not have ever asked you, but it's in the book. And you can choose to respond to it and write out something. And so Mary Kay has been doing that. And then I started to do it. My handwriting's so bad that I thought, you know what? We do video all the time here. I'll just do a video for each question. So I haven't done it for a while, but occasionally I will open up the record here on my computer and I will do a short video answering a question like, what was it like growing up where you lived? Or, you know, how did you meet Mom? You know? And it can be even like, what was it like with your siblings? And just a lot of questions. There's a lot of questions that, you know, some kids might ask you growing up, but then they don't ask you or something. I mean, my mother, God bless her, you know, she died when I was pretty young. There's a lot of questions I had that I wish I would have asked her, but I was too young to think about those things, you know? So I actually do video when I do it because my hands bother me. So I can't write. Nobody can understand it when I'm writing. So anyhow, it's called Mom, I Want to Hear Your Story, or the other one is Dad. And not to prolong this, but we had a get together with a gal that used to be on my leadership team at my church. And she has cancer and she has stage 4 cancer. And so she had a birthday party this Saturday and they're not sure what's going to happen with her. She's very sick. She's looking pretty good, but she's having a lot of chemo treatments and even experimental chemo stuff. And she's doing okay, lost a lot of weight, but she has stage 4 cancer. And her husband decided, you know what, we should have a birthday party and invite a bunch of people. And they have a big place. They invited like 80 people. And I saw a lot of people. I resigned from my position as executive pastor, so I hadn't seen a lot of these people for like 6 or 7 years. And it was good to see them, but it was good to see her again. And I gave her, my wife gave her that book, Mom, I Want to Hear Your Story. Oh. And I gave her another book or something else. But it was a fun get-together. And the truth is, we don't know, you know, is she going to be around next year? We don't know because of cancer. We're praying for her. We're hoping for the best. But she actually responded to me today and said, hey, I read your book. I loved it. And I also have started writing on the book that my wife gave her, Mom, I Want to Hear Your Story. All right. So anyhow, that's the problem with AI is if you're not careful, you're not putting the human touch on it. And here's another one I want to touch on real quickly here. And that is there's a problem sometimes with accuracy. AI doesn't always get it right. It hallucinates.
Yeah, it's gotten much better. But yes, there is still the hallucination. So, or there's some bias, but that there has been getting better and better, in my opinion. So,
yeah, but there can be, it's not always right on questions you ask it. And then there's also the kind of the deal that if you're leaning on it in ministry, go ahead.
The other thing is when it's not right, it wants to let you know that it is really right. So it is so confident in what it tells you. It just wants you to believe it, I guess. So yes, it does make that mistake. It's always, I mean, I've told you about this and others about going down this path because I use AI to do some coding work and I'll have this problem and it'll go, I see the problem. It's right here. Let me help you fix that. And you go through and you're like, that didn't work. And now I got this other problem. Oh, I know exactly what's going on now. And I went down this path for hours once and decided I'm just bailing. It just got worse and worse and worse. So yes, it gets me angry.
It's very polite though. You have to.
Yes, it was very polite and it's very confident. It's like, I see this is going to solve your problems, you know? And after a while, you just got to give up and say, let's start this whole thing over and use less of you, AI, and more of me and, you know, to get this problem solved. So, yes.
It'll never condemn you for asking a question. Always tell you, oh, that's a great question, you know, and if you're asking a question or something. But
And it will never say, you know, there's not a lot of information on that, and I'm not really sure. It will never say that. So,
the other thing too is that if you, as a pastor, you know, you want to be very careful when you're talking about theological stuff, because there can be some issues there with theological things as well. So, because there's, as we all know, there's 1,000 denominations out there or more. I don't know how many now, but everybody has a different take on things. And so sometimes if you're not careful, you don't do your homework, like we were saying earlier, you know, you could get some bad theology from something, depending on the question you ask.
Yeah. And this ties into the point I was making earlier that you don't want to use it as a shortcut to get the answer. You want to wrestle with the problem so that you're learning and growing with it. Whereas the temptation is to just give me the answer. You know, I don't want to wrestle with this scripture. Just tell me what you say it means.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So again, want to just talk very quickly as we wrap up. There's some ethical things. You should have a policy or something. There's things that you really need to look at. And just be good stewardship, right? And we talk about stewardship, we usually think of money, but stewardship on how you handle AI, you know, how you handle things in your church. And I think that you should be transparent on what you're doing as a leader. That's my opinion anyhow. Very quickly, there's some roles here that we could look at. I'll probably put this on the blog. Use AI for this, avoid AI for that. Let's cover that real quickly, if we could. You can use AI for volunteer scheduling and maybe emailing some drafts or something that you want to do. But again, avoid AI as the final decision making on leadership. That needs to come from you. That needs to come from you and your leadership team. Sermon preparation. I'm just going to go on this. Feel free to interrupt me. sermon preparation stuff. Again, good to, when it comes to summarizing some commentaries, probably maybe some fast fact checking, although you got to be a little careful with that. But again, avoid AI. You know, you don't want to take the heart out of your message. You don't want to take the heart and the application out of your message. It's got to come from you. the creative aspect of things, social media graphics can be very good. Even using it for video clipping, video captions, we have what we call Sermon Clipper at streamingchurch.tv that everybody can use if we host your videos. And Sermon Clipper works really nice. You can get your messages and cut them up a little bit and post them on social media or send them in emails to people that remind people, as we were saying earlier, right? But it can't, when it comes to personal prayer and devotional time, that's what you want to use AI, what you don't want to use AI for. You want to be able to your quality time, your quality devotional time, you know, yeah, your personal prayer.
There was a blog article, something talking about, had the headline, "Does God hear my AI prayers?" Or
good idea. I don't know. Does he? Does he hear that?
Maybe that was the whole article was about.
Does he ignore it? I don't know. When it comes to care, pastoral care, you know, organizational prayer, organizing prayer request, you know, can be good maybe in a category. But again, you want to be the person that delivers the counseling, the therapy of your pastor, you know. It needs to be not coming from AI. I don't know. Maybe you could look up some things or whatever, some tips maybe when it comes to therapy or counseling, but it needs to come from you. You've got to be able to do that. Does that make sense? I don't know if it does or not. But anyhow, all right. Wrapping up here. Most successful churches are using AI to kind of clear up all the busy work, right? Calendars and all that stuff. And then, you know, you can take the busy stuff and help use AI to help that with organizational stuff and whatever. But that would free you up to be able to work with people, build relationships, build some authentic community. That to me is the best thing. The golden rule for church AI, use it to manage the system, but use your heart to shepherd the soul, which I think is good. What do you think?
I think that summarizes it well.
All right. So if you have questions, I mean, we said at the very beginning of this thing, we actually have AI tools, which, you know, if you are a streamingchurch.tv customer, you could use those. We can help you with that. That's the other thing is you need to know is that we're available to help. And we'll help you through every step of the way, every question you might have. And if you don't have an account with us, we're not pushing you, but hey, why not give it a shot? streamingchurch.tv, and you can create a free trial. And again, we will be available to help you and your church. That's what we're all about. And that's one of the advantages of us is that, you know, there's free services out there, you know, like YouTube or Facebook. We've talked about that, but you're not going to get the stuff that we have with those free services. Anything else to add, Mr. Jackson Lacey?
I don't think so.
All right. Well, I think we're done here. We'd love to hear from you folks. What's your thoughts on all this stuff? Are you for AI? Are you against AI? Is there a way you could use it, a way you shouldn't use it? Maybe some thoughts to this thing that we just talked about? Just reach out to us at streamingchurch.tv, and we will be glad to hear your thoughts. Okay, we're done here. Thank you, Steve, and thank you, folks, for spending some time with us today. Went a little bit over time, but thanks for being with us here. Make sure you subscribe to the Church Solutions Podcast so you'll never miss a podcast. And please take care of yourself and each other, and we'll catch you again on another episode. I'm Phil Thompson.